Izzy B here again, your guest host for the Ultra Buds Unleashed series on the Trail Life podcast. I'm thrilled to welcome today's special guest, a friend, elite ultra runner, and incredible coach, Brittany Peterson. Brittany has been a passionate runner her whole life, with her love for adventure sparked during her high school years training in local state parks. After collegiate competition and post-collegiate marathons, she discovered her true calling in trail, mountain, and ultra running. Brittany's impressive achievements include second and fourth place finishes at the legendary Western States Endurance Run, a third overall ranking in the World Sky Running Series, along with numerous wins and course records. Her approach to running is deeply rooted in connection, freedom, and exploration. Brittany coaches athletes at peak run performance and recently joined the coaching team at the Warrior Trail Foundation, bringing her occupational therapy expertise and holistic personalized training plans to support her athletes. Versatile and always up for an adventure, Brittany tackles everything from fast, flat courses to technical mountain trails, peak bagging, and chasing FKTs. Let's dive in and explore the trail with Brittany Peterson.
Well, help me turn the turning. Well, help me get it right.
Thanks for coming on the show. Happy to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I always like to start off with the first question, since I always know my guests for this podcast. Tell the story of how we met.
I would say first we knew each other electronically through a lot of emails, through just being connected through a brand. But then I would say Trans Rockies organization at Moab Run the Rocks. That's when we met in person.
Yes. Yeah. And Moab Run the Rocks is coming up next month. It's going to be the third year doing it. So we'll see each other again and hopefully get some miles in if I'm not broken.
Yeah. At least if nothing else, just be running in a warm climate.
And that's what's cool about the Trans Rockies races. You can just go and hike and just have fun and hang out with everyone. Great vibes.
Exactly. Yes.
So for the audience that maybe doesn't know you or haven't heard of you or just want to get to know you better, tell us a story of how you got into running, because you've been running pretty much your whole life, huh?
Yeah. I go back to obviously like high school, junior high. I had friends that ran and it took me forever to like finally dip into cross country. Like I ran track starting in seventh grade, but I did a little bit of everything. And then finally my friends are like, join the long distance crew. And then it was a slippery slope from there. But I was really lucky where the team that I was on in high school, we lived right next to, this is northern Minnesota, so lived right next to a state park where my coach was really influential in just like longer runs, but then like adventure running, which was going that state park. And like one of my favorite runs was this long weekend run that we do where we went out like deep into the state park and literally just ran up this whole creek. So there's times that it's like you're ankle deep, and then there's times you're like crawling over beaver dams. So that's the type of running that I started with, which now it's like full circle. Like it makes sense that I do the type of running that I do because I want to go get to the top of this mountain or bring on like a technical type environment where it's, oh, wow, what is this going to bring out or what challenge will this pose? And I want to see if I can do it.
That sounds awesome. Wow. Seventh grade. That's really cool. Okay. So that kind of explains how you got into trail running. And then how did the trail running transition to ultra running? Because after, I guess let's move back a little bit. Post high school, you ran in college as well too, right? And then after that, you went more of the road runner path.
Yeah, I think like I had a fair amount of injuries. Like I did my first marathon when I was 17 and then did my next one when I was 18. Then my collegiate program didn't allow us to do marathons, which makes sense. So got away from it, focus on university running. I wasn't anything fantastic at that point, but I think it's pretty cool. Like I love my story where I didn't burn out at university because I was a D3 runner and I went to school to get my degree and I ran at a team that like seemed like home and just had a good community. And then I had my share of injuries. So I think I had to figure out my body and figure out what I'm actually good at. But I look at it as I like survived college running without being too broken, and then without the like mental weight that can come from such a high level of running. So really, I was like the confused post-grad, like just still ran, but was rock climbing and just had figured out a whole bunch of things. Moved to Idaho, found the mountains, started getting serious about running again, was training for the marathon still, but just once the ultra scene took off, I found the group of friends and just started playing on the trails. And really, I think that's when I saw where my potential really was, and then building speed into trails. And then of course that just goes into like longer distances and variable terrain and all that stuff.
So what was your first ultra race? Do you remember that and how that experience was?
Oh yeah.
I actually raced.
It was, so I was doing a lot of things with friends at the time. And so my first one, I believe, was in Boise, Idaho. It was the Foothills Frenzy 50K, which was all in like the like hometown backyard trails. I think it was only like 6,000 feet of vert, but it was like at the time, oh, that's a lot. And 31 miles, how am I going to do that? And what, I forget, the Trail of Tears or something. Like there's all these little things with it, but it's ran it with friends and it just was a really good environment. But then that kind of lit a fire. Then it was like the next year I went and ran it by myself and took over an hour off of our time and just started chasing. Like there's a local legend, Joelle Vaught, that is now Joelle Fought in the Boise area, that she is an old school runner, like just this really great runner. So I remember like when I was up and coming in trails, Joelle had been there for so long. And like, I just knew her by her braided pigtails and all of her dogs and just running so fast with a huge smile on her face. And so she's still in Boise, and like I was the girl that was finishing second to Joelle all the time, just like in awe of what she could do. And now we're good friends. But it was just like all of that where it's, I want to go and see more and do more. And like, it just, I think that environment of that group of people like catapulted me forward.
So that kind of helped you grow and get faster. And next thing you're an elite runner.
Yeah.
So talk about how that transition happened.
I think I started seeing potential and was connected with the right people. Had a coach at that time that was pretty well connected and opened my eyes to, shoot, let's see what I can do. Can I actually get sponsored? And so the quest kind of changed from racing in Idaho to, okay, where are they? I didn't even know what Western States was at that time. So it was like, go and see the world of ultra running. And then go and figure out. I remember like my coach at the time saying, your name can be with the names of Stephanie Howe and Anna Mae Flynn and Casey Lichtig, you know, where it just, I remember, who are these women? And now it's just, oh, wow, these are like friends and like amazing athletes. But it's like, that was the new quest of opening this world to what is ultra running, and then learning like Western States and tackling Speed Goat and the North Face 50 at the time. That was my quest that time, or that at that time, was to like go and pick big races and set big goals and then see what I could do.
And you did pretty incredible, right? So Western States was probably your biggest career highlight, second place at Western States. And how old were you when you ran that race?
Oh, goodness. It was 2019. So what, I was like 33, 31.
So you'd been running ultra running how many years already?
At least 10. Yeah.
Wow. It's 10 years. And how was getting into Western States in 2019? It was already difficult, right? You had to have a bunch of tickets.
I was lucky enough to get a golden ticket.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about that, because that's how it starts. Golden ticket. Which race was that? Was that the Black Canyons?
It was Bandera in 2019.
Wow. Yeah. So you got a golden ticket at Bandera. So that's another career highlight. And then Western States, you got second place 1 year and fourth place another year, correct?
Yes.
And how are those two experiences different?
It's crazy. I have run Western three different times, and I like each time has been a completely different experience. And I would even say like from second to fourth, it's like a snow year to a year. And like when I was second, it's like I ran alone majority of the race, and I was in third, fourth for a big part of it and moved to second in the last 20 miles. And that was the year like Courtney ended up dropping at the river, and like, and then it was Claire just ahead of me, and so I had been in third like pretty solidly for so long, and then it was just like the shift, the like epic dynamic shift that in the quote short like short distance left in the race, but still 20 miles. But yeah, so it's compared to the year that I got fourth, I know I was in a big pack of women for the longest time, and it does still spread out, but it was such a different feel where I don't, it's just what I'm getting at is it's amazing how you can have like completely different experiences. Just like Erin talks mm-hmm. about with training. I tried to replicate my training because it went so well for the, it's impossible. It never happens that way. The same thing with the race, but it's like, there's just highlights of being able to run with Ruth Croft and Keely Henniger, like for a big part of that year that I got fourth. And then obviously like just fighting at the end of passing Katie Asmuth, like before the
race. Oh, wow.
Just trying to catch some of the women ahead of me, but they just felt like they were so far ahead versus like the, like Claire and I being together at mile 94 or whatever.
Yeah, every race is completely different. You never know what other people are struggling with, if they're going to drop, something happens. Oh, that's what makes it so exciting. Or the weather, if the river is high or low.
Yeah, yes.
So what are some other career highlights that you've had that have stood out to you and that you're excited about?
That's cool. We're recording where Black Canyon literally just happened last weekend. And I still look at Black Canyon as, even though Western has been a phenomenal experience and like just a high, like memorable run in my career. But I honestly, I still say Black Canyon 100K in 2021 was my like top career performance because I won it the year 2021 and I set a course record at that time. And that was coming right out of COVID. And that's something I still reflect on because for me as an athlete, there were some big highlights for me of it just it because of COVID and some of the restrictions that were still in place. It was more autonomous where we didn't get to have crew. Like I had to use a drop bag. We all did. So like we were all in the same situation. But it's like, I still pulled off a course record that day and I only had a pacer for 10 miles. So it's just like, when I look back on it and like in the time I realized it, but it's like now years later, it's like, I absolutely realize just like how magical that day was, but how important it was for me as an athlete where I think there's an element like I'm full circle in so many different ways of reflecting on my running history. But it's like at that point, it was that coming to my own and trusting myself and like feeling legit of I'm actually here and I'm an elite versus I'm up and coming or I'm trying to prove all of that stuff. Like Black Canyon was really special for me for that day because it was such a perfect day. First of all, like I feel very grateful because each of us have a few of those races that it's wow, everything just went right. And then most of the races we have, wow, I had a lot of lows or I had problems of, but that race, like in that context, it was just like, man, so much went right. And it was really, yes, I still had support and crew, and that was a huge role, of course, but it's so much of it was like I executed in a way that I'm really proud of, and it came like the results showed what I was capable of. And that was just a good turning point for me as an athlete of, dang, I should be confident in myself versus maybe feeling like I always have to prove or whatever. I think that's something that we all maybe deal with where I'll just bring it right to like the current where I came off of a 2-year not so great time of I had hip surgeries and then I broke my ankle as I was coming back. And so it's like I'm rebuilding, like I just shared about this on social media, where it's like Black Canyon was such a pivotal time in 2021 that I need to channel that today because I'm having to rebuild who I am as a runner. And it's so easy to fall into the, I'm not as good as I was, or I'm not elite or sponsored anymore. Like, maybe I am elite still, but it's that whole don't discount what you've done, but also don't discount like what you can work through and get back to.
I love that. Yeah. I ran Black Canyon same year for sure after COVID. Yeah. And they also had, the weather was perfect.
It was a lovely day. Yes,
it was. And I had a pretty solid race too. And I actually liked not having all the pacers, all the, you know, crazy aid stations and stuff. Cause I think we just had one aid station at the end. And then you're one pacer for the last 10 miles, right? I think that's what it was. Yeah. And I actually liked that. And it was cool because they had the waves And so you got to go in wave one.
Like they had like little
the staggered starts.
Yeah, like we stood on our circle so that we were all like 6 feet apart or whatever.
It was so weird. And you had to wear a mask at the very beginning and then stuff it in your pack once you got going.
Yeah.
And originally, because I'm not an elite runner, I was in a later wave, which means I would have been finishing like at 12 or 1 a.m. And I'm like, what? And then they last minute, they made a rule. If you're traveling and staying with someone in wave one, they'll bump you up. So I found a friend who was an elite who just said, yeah, Isabella's staying with me. And I got to run in wave two.
Crazy. Oh, wow. Yeah, I can't imagine. Like, yeah, that makes sense. The entitled things that I didn't realize, like how delayed so many people start. Like start time, which obviously puts them finishing way later.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was cool that I was able to start early, like in wave two, but also at the same time, I was next to all these elites and I'm like, oh my goodness, I do not belong here. And then it went so fast in the beginning. It was crazy, but yeah, that was a cool race. So speaking of like COVID, because that was like the first race after COVID, you crushed COVID with the FKTs. I have seen your name all over the place. So let's talk about that for a minute here.
I think I was very fortunate, like living in Idaho at the time where like rural, I can go out and like, I've joked forever. It's like, I see more moose than people on the trails. So it's just, it was in Eastern Idaho, not quite Boise, but really it's like, I appreciated more and more people got out because we didn't have restrictions. Like I know so many other places had like parks were closed down. You couldn't trailheads, whatever. But it's like, I'm in like rural, go up to a cabin that I had access to and go play in the mountains where you saw nobody. Where it's like COVID is out here, sure, but there's no people out here. So like it's not out here in the mountains. And so really, I also like the job I was working at the time, like everything I was teaching at the university. So everything was online. So it's like, I just went and played out in the middle of mountains of central Idaho. While it turned into an opportunity for, as an athlete to, okay, I'm still training. I'm still running. I'm fortunate that I am healthy and I have access to all of the places that I can go and train on. But it's like being realistic with, what do? Like you can go into a depression. You can like get stuck. There's so many people that had way more challenging experiences just because of the environment or all of the limitations and whatnot. Versus I was like, okay, what an opportunity. Like I spun it in a way of, I want to go and do things that maybe I wouldn't do in a normal season because I'm doing formal races. So part of it was like, just to like keep things fresh and challenge myself as an athlete when I'm not racing. But then the other part of it, like I went at one point when travel was more safe, like I have a Sprinter van. So I drove across to Minnesota and was with just my family and did an FKT from where I graduated high school all the way up to the Canadian border on the Lake Superior hiking trail. And it was such a special thing that it was like my partner at the time and I, and then like my dad, my brother and my brother's partner. And it was just us crewing over it was a 300 mile section of trail that went through all of my childhood places, like where I would go hiking with my family growing up. And I haven't lived in in Minnesota forever. So it was just like this walk down memory lane, but also, well, what's this like 300 mile adventure? What is that like? And so, yeah, like it was really cool to be able to just set different goals that had meaning to me in conjunction to backyard goals of, yeah, I went and did a hard workout up to the top of Mount Bora, the highest peak in Idaho, and got the FKT to the top and the FKT from the top and down to the bottom. And ironically, there were two other girls from the college that I taught at, that one of them is now like a good friend of mine, that like their coach, we joked about it later, oh, great minds think alike, because their coach had said, go try for this. And so they were literally out there. They had started a little bit before me and they were doing the same thing. So it's like the girls had maybe, I think they had broken the course record to the top and then I broke it like 45 minutes later. And then I passed them on the way down. And so then we chatted in the parking lot. I was like, hi. So it was this cool environment of multiple people just getting out there and pushing something, just setting those little goals. Cause like they were university athletes that didn't have a season like in their senior. So it's just they had the same thing. And like their coach was smart of here's a little carrot, go and chase this. And me and one of them like became good friends because it's like clearly you can handle yourself in the mountains and clearly you have this extra joy and you're talented. Let's go do hard stuff together. Let's go adventure in the mountains.
Oh, I love it. And I saw your name everywhere because I had just found out about the Woman Who FKT project that started right after COVID. The
Yeah.
Woman Who FKT, I found that out about two different Alyssas, Alyssa Gadeski and Alyssa Clark. They had were setting a bunch of them. And I'm like, how
Yeah.
cool, like more women are setting FKTs. And then you see this name, Brittany.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, this girl's all over the place. I think this was before I met you too. I'd already
Yeah.
seen your name everywhere. Because when I travel for work, I'll look around and see if there's any FKTs, but your name's on a lot of them. And I'm like, eh, I'm not gonna
Yeah.
geek that time.
I love it in the sense of just, I think I moved to a place and I went to a local area, like not that far away. And I'm like, just in awe of, this is an amazing route. And I was joking, like, I want to go for the FKT on this. And then the girl I was running with was like, good. I hope you can beat my time. And I was like, oh, like, it's like, you're crazy, like strong. And just, but it's like that attitude of women strengthening other women of
Yes.
raising the bar here, but please go out there and chase it. And I love that that's the environment and like the culture with FKT. Of course, yeah, we don't, it's nice to have her name on the top or whatever, but it's like FKTs are like, to me, it's like, this is like the Alice Toksoway Loop in the Sawtooth Mountains in Idaho. It's that is such a beautiful, one of my favorite places to be. And it's, I ran it hard one day. And it's, if somebody else, if it gets somebody else out there, it's plenty of people now, it's becoming more discovered. But if it makes, draws somebody that wants to go run it fast and they break my time, so be it. Like that means that I got to share a place like this place is really special to me. And I hope that next person sees how beautiful and how special it is too.
And it inspires females, I think, as well. Hey, you can chase these FKTs just like the guys. That's
Oh, yeah.
why, yeah, I set one. And then, sure enough, a year later, a little college kid went and beat me, a little whippersnapper. But
Yeah.
it, no one would have known if I hadn't said anything. So, it like
Exactly.
exactly what you said, it just started the movement and raises the bar. Yeah, I love FKTs. So, speaking of FKTs, do you have a dream FKT or solo mountain project that you want to do in the future? Is there one you're like, oh, I want to beat that one?
Oh man, yeah. I like the idea of the Superior Hiking Trail. I liked that was meaningful and it was a like a long quest. I don't have anything like sticking out in my mind that fits that kind of style at this point, but it's I'm jonesing a little bit for another 200 plus mile adventure.
Ooh.
It just challenges, like I would do it totally different because I am not the person that can just fall asleep. And so like we had planned sleep breaks that I'm just laying there like I should be walking right now because I can't sleep right now. So why am I just laying here? So that's off in the horizon, but I've been spending a lot of time up in Alberta, just outside of Banff National Park. And so Canmore, and Canmore is littered with talent and amazing athletes. And here in Canmore, it's, I love this city because there's four big peaks that kind of surround the city. And so they call it the Canmore Quad. And it's like it turns into be like just over a 50K and like 16,000 feet of vert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty
Wow,
legit.
that is
It's like,
spicy.
yeah. So it's, I know that's like a thing in the community where it's like Canmore Quad and the running stores get together and everyone goes and does it. And it's this little kind of pseudo race, but really just community outreach. But it's, man, it'd be fun to rip up and down those and have that in Canmore, but who knows? So
Is there an
that's,
FKT right now on there
oh,
for a
yeah.
female? Yeah.
I forget. I think it's 10 hours. It's funny too, because I'm coaching an athlete that's here in town and she wants to go for it. So she's a friend of mine too, where it's, I would never let it interfere with anything, where it's, yes, you go for it. And maybe I'll run and I can pace you, or we can just see, like, we could do it together and see what, who
Yep,
knows?
there's a category for that. But
Yeah,
yeah,
there
definitely.
it is.
So we've talked about some highs in your life, and obviously with all athletes, professional or just regular people like me, there's also lows and setbacks. Talk about some of the injuries that you've had to go through as an athlete.
Yeah, it's This is the thing that I think is really important and hopefully powerful with like my latest phase of my career, because it's like I haven't done a whole lot in the last couple of years because it has been an all-time low. And it's, I hope people don't have to deal with a multi-year like setback, but I do know that's the reality. And I've met more and more people that are going through similar things where it's, man, the resiliency needed is incredible. And if I can just touch one person to help them in the lows of that journey, because I know exactly what it's like, then that's why I want to share. Because, yeah, like I started out like right before getting sponsored, I had the quest of I want to go and be as fast as I can, but my life fell apart. I had a lot of personal stuff going on. And then I basically ran myself into, I've had hamstring and hip stuff forever. So whether it was that, but I think it was just, I ended up burning the candle big time at both ends. I would like to say I was not overtraining, but basically like the chronic fatigue syndrome and whatever, I was over doing everything considering everything that was going on in my life. And so like I was out for 10 months where it's like at that time, that was a long time, but it's like that delayed me like pursuing professional running, but it also catapulted me and allowed me to come back, because I got to a point where I had to essentially, like, I was meditating every day after work, just like telling myself, your body is getting stronger, you can, like, to a point like it. And that I honestly think is what got me back, because I just stopped running altogether because I really couldn't. And so now like my situation in the last couple of years has been different, where I've had the hamstring stuff for so long that I finally got it diagnosed properly. And then there was a solution. And so my hip surgeries, this is where it's hard to say, oh, I was injured the last couple of years. No, I had an elective hip surgery that I needed, because I was managing it well until the last year. Even a practitioner that I'd seen, like, that she was looking at my alignment and body mechanics and just everything. And she's, you used to respond really well to the treatment, and now you're getting, I would rotate my pelvis and whatnot, which would put my hamstring on stretch, and then everything would hurt. And I would be very quad dominant. She's, you're just not responding or holding in those proper positions like I used to. And so basically it's like, I look at it, I had this problem for so long, but I could manage it. But I was that like moments of like high elite running, and then other moments of DNS this race because I can barely run. And I feel like a hobby jogger on the weekend, or it's, that's such a weird thing, but it was all like my hip positioning and biomechanics, because I had an anatomical deformity in my joint. Like I had the femoral acetabular impingement that had led to labral tears, and I had bony buildup, and basically I had limited range of motion of the femur in the hip joint, which is going to throw off everything. And it did. So once I finally got diagnosed properly, it was like, get me surgery now. I'm done with this yo-yo of like really high running, really low running. And so it was, I knew it was a commitment because I had talked to other people and I'd done the research where it's like, I was relearning how to run because I had a surgery to give me the range of motion that I didn't have.
Ah.
It's like your like muscle activation and just how you're using your body was wrong because it was limited. And so they did, I went to the Stedman Clinic in Vail, Colorado. Top notch. They had a really solid, like, my background is occupational therapy, so I'm not a physical therapist by any means, but I understand like just activation patterns, compensation. Whereas like I worked in neurological rehab where I was working with upper extremities, but I was working with patients after stroke where it's like they would compensate with intact muscles and then learn all of these improper movement patterns, and then it would lead to other issues. And my job as the therapist was to minimize compensation, work on the impaired muscles and that impaired connection to try to facilitate the brain connecting to the body properly to get proper movement. And so that's exactly what I was going through in a very different context. Wow. But I had to relearn my entire life of how I moved my body, I had it fixed, and then I had to start over and relearn in a different, more functional, more productive way, where that took a long time. But
yeah,
it's really interesting, and it does compare or brings my two worlds together. Of I at least I understand and understood exactly what was happening and could respect that process. But it was like in the beginning of that process, it really was like my exercise was incredibly basic of just relearning like how to activate muscles and then the proper sequencing and firing patterns and do that in the most basic of movements and then build that bit by bit into running, which is pretty humbling.
Yeah, especially since you've been running since seventh grade with that issue.
Yeah, like, which is exciting too, because it's that was the part that like was helpful at that time was like, I did this volitionally. I knew that it needed to happen because I had been on the yo-yo, and I knew that ultimately it's like, I can come back and run better because I'm actually going to be anatomically in a position that could be really powerful versus having limited power. I had compensated so much that like, I couldn't use my left side properly and it was quite weak. And like now, like, that I'm a year and a half out from surgeries, it's like, I can tell my left side is so much stronger. And it's been really cool just seeing, you know, obviously it's taken time, but like seeing how it is coming together, where it's, I feel very different. Like when I'm doing speed workouts and things like that, it's like, I can tell I'm not shifting. I can tell that I'm getting more symmetry from both sides of my body. And I can tell that I'm using my backside, which like we need to use our glutes, not just our quads.
Yes. Oh gosh.
Yeah. And that's, and then bring it to the coaching world where it's like, I am way too in tune with how we can inhibit our backsides and not use our glutes and then compensate and run into all these issues that it's like, I'm very passionate about sharing that with my athletes and just the stuff that I should have known, but it took me way too long to figure out. But it also like my body just didn't allow me to go into that because of the anatomical stuff. But it's like, if I can pass that on to my athletes, this is what you should be paying attention to, this is what you should be feeling, and here are some exercises that can facilitate that bio, like those biomechanics, and then let's pay attention to it within reason when we're out running, that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's great that you promote the strength training to your clients that you coach. I know with me, my strength training was a little different the last couple of years because I decided to do CrossFit instead of running specific training. And I just don't think that helped. And now that then I have the back issue and I'm like, I just wasn't doing enough glute and core strengthening because CrossFit is completely different. Yeah, I was strong, but in different ways, not for a runner strong.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I mean, it's being able to maintain proper activation during the task. And it's, there are times when, and I'm not a CrossFitter, but it's, if you're just trying to generate force, like, you might be compensating with something else. And that's where strength can be so tricky when it's, because I had my physical therapist talk to me about this a lot in those like middle gray areas before I figured out what was actually going on, where it's, if I'm in bad positioning, strengthening can actually reinforce that. And so that's where it's like really truly looking at like position and activation and like getting into the nitty gritty components that are specific to running and then strengthening that, which is totally not even, it's not the sexy type of strength, which is really hard to motivate to do. But it's, man, those are the things that it's like when you find the right activation exercises and strengthening routines that truly tie into running mechanics, that can make a gigantic difference.
Such as resistance bands, not sexy at all. Like you said, they're firing the proper muscles.
And it's like, I just literally did some yesterday and pulled out a couple resistance bands. And it's like, I had to downgrade to the, I forget what it said, but it was very shameful of the light resistance band. But I'm like, this is kicking my butt, but I need to literally get it in my butt so I can't do too much resistance or I'm just going to compensate.
Yep, exactly. So did you see a difference on your last race? You did a race, what, a few months ago? Did you see the difference with your hips and all that?
Yeah, so I did Ultra Trail Cape Town in November. That was like my comeback. I don't like the word comeback. It was my return, my celebratory return to ultra running. And I think so, like the piece in here is I got partway through my hip surgery recovery and then I broke my ankle. So I was like, yeah. So that was on my left side, which was my more impaired hip side.
Oh, man.
So it just was the setback. That was like the real test of just like versus an elective surgery that I know this is going to get me better. It's like I had just used up a lot of resilience and then had something completely unexpected happen that sunk me for quite some time. And as I think that's like the real part of the story of it's easier to channel like that athletic spirit into here's a surgery that I know I need and I'm choosing to do it. So I can just channel my training headspace into my recovery. But then it's put a traumatic injury that wasn't planned at all. And then put those two in like scenarios really close together. I like it was the first time in maybe since I was a little kid that I like went a whole month and I didn't exercise at all because I was depressed. I was in a really bad place, which I think has framed my headspace today and for that comeback race in a good way of just I just want to be happy to be out here because it's easy to get stuck in like comparison or stuck in all of like the negative between our ear space and hate running. That's where I was at one point of just needing to compete and run fast. And if I didn't or I had a disappointing event, then I suck. I'm not good enough. And like just really get down on myself when it's no, that's not how that goes at all. But then to lose running entirely, because there's times like in that process, I was like, I don't even care if I run anymore. It's like, no, that's not who I am at all because I love running. And that's where honestly coming back after the ankle surgery, or I didn't have surgery, but after the ankle fracture, it was like just being able to run again. And then like I was in a beautiful place and like running in the mountains where it's like I wasn't training, I wasn't like doing anything intentional, but I had some pretty solid weeks because I was literally just loving being outside, being in the mountains. And it's like that I think it's like, what was the purpose of all of this? And it's like, it's hold dear to the fact that I can run and the freedom and the joy, like the foundation of why I run, which is being outside, exploring, like seeing beautiful places. It's not, yes, I want to be able to run fast and run hard and have results, but it's if I don't have those, like those are never guaranteed, especially in the world today, because there are so many talented people out there that it's like the foundation of it really is that I get to and that I'm grateful for what my body can do. And so I think that's where this Cape Town race was. Like the ankle was still giving me a little bit of trouble. So, not in a way of like limited mobility and just affecting my hips, but I was able to pull it together and I still had a solid race. But I still think I was guarded in my mindset of you come through all of that. That's something I've been reflecting on lately because it's like people are like, wow, you must have so much resiliency. And it's, I do, but I used a lot of it. I was working through crap like every day to a point where it's, I wasn't, when I did Cape Town, I was excited and like ready to go and grind. But at the same time, it's like I was just wanting to finish and I was ultimately wanting to have fun. And when I did, I like pushed myself, but I did a really good job of not caring like where I was or not getting stuck in the comparison because it was like, accept where I'm at. Like, I'm not where I was a few years ago, but that doesn't mean I can't get there, but I'm not there today. And that doesn't mean that I'm not good. And I think it was a cool experience of I finished. It was like being able to do 100K after all of that is still insane. And then to run strong, and I was eighth. So it's like, I want to be
Top
better.
10, yeah.
Yeah, it's still an international field. There's some really strong women, and there was a lot of climbing, and it was gnarly terrain like the entire time. So it's like for that to be my quote comeback race, it's like from an ankle fracture to be able to run the trails of Cape Town, that's pretty good. And so now it's I think that really catapulted where I'm at today of like I'm doing consistent speed workouts. I'm actually training with intention and mindset because that sparked my flame again, that has now allowed me to like maybe have trust in my body or see that joy of being able to dig into like places of I want to go and push myself, because I've regenerated some of that resiliency that I had spent in the last several years. So I think that Cape Town was really special, and I think 2025 is going to be extremely special, because now it's, instead of like celebratory return, I feel like it can, I still want it to stay there, but it can go into with a flame of like badassery of what can I do?
Yeah. And you have a couple of really amazing big races coming up this year.
Yes.
You want to talk about those?
Yeah. I think the big one coming up here in April is the Gorge Waterfalls 100K. So it's okay on U.S. soil against all the people that I know and those that I don't know that are up and coming and crushing, where it's, I'm scared for it, but it's like, what has me scared is I just don't want to lose where I'm at in my headspace, which I think is a mature place to be. Maybe I've grown. This has forced me to grow a lot. There's a girl out of Canada, Ilsa McDonald. I think most Americans know her. She had the course record at Black Canyon when I got it. And she was second at Western several years ago over as a like 41-year-old or something. Mm. Like, she is just an absolute legend, because she was second at Gorge 100K last year.
Okay.
Lottie Brinks ended up passing her in like the last 5K or something.
Another Boise.
Lottie's a baby. Where Ilsa, like, I talked to her and she's just, I just want to go out there. She's like, I burned it a little hard maybe. And she's like, but I wouldn't change it, because I want to go out there and I want to run as hard as I can and see what I can do. Mm-hmm. And like, we talked a little bit about Western States, where she's, no, I don't need to go back because there's so many other races out there.
Yes.
To do. We're just okay. Like, you got second place and you're not feeling this like pull of, but what about the win? But it's like, she's not letting any of that stuff define why she races or how she races. Like, she is doing it because she loves it and she wants to go give it her all in as many different ways as she can. And it's like, that is the way to have a long-lasting career, the way to kick ass, like, as long as you want into your career. Like, that's what I aspire to be. And so that's like my number one goal with Gorge, is to have that healthy balance of, I want to go and run hard and be as competitive as I can be, but I want it to be 100% for me in a healthy way.
Yeah. And it, another beautiful course too. For those who don't know about Gorge.
I've wanted to do for years, so I'm excited. It's like Cape Town. I hadn't done it because I had always been doing UTMB. Mm-hmm. And so that was the perfect comeback race of, I'm going to go to a place that I've wanted to travel to, a race I've wanted to do. Gorge, I think, is the same thing. And then building off of that, like in September, I'm signed up for Run Rabbit Run. Ooh. Another race that's okay. Yeah. There's some big stakes with that race, where there's that ulterior motive of, I do want to go race the competitive races that'll draw competition and see what happens from there. But at the same time, it's like, I haven't done Run Rabbit Run. It's in Steamboat Springs. Like, I have an athlete that I trained her. That was her first 100. She loves that area. She lives in Denver, where it's like, she'd probably come out and crew and whatever. And so it's just like all of the extra things of, go and do the races that I haven't done before, that I've been excited about or have had lingering thoughts about. And that's what 2025 can bring.
I love it. And I'm the same way too. I want to try new races and traveling, seeing cool things.
Yes.
It's a great, like, you went to Africa. How cool is that? Was it Africa? No, South America. Yeah, where's Cape Town? See, it's South Africa.
I kept seeing South America. And
I'm like, wait, there's a South in there somewhere in my geography. So those are some really cool goals. Okay, so outside of running and stuff, you're also a coach with Peak Run Performance. So what made you want to become a coach, and how long have you been doing that for?
Let's see, I've coached since 2019, but I'm an occupational therapist. So I had always been working in my field and then coaching on the side until the last like year and a half is when I like took the leap to coach full time. And it's been awesome, because I actually, like, the last 5 years of my like working life as an occupational therapist, I was in academics. And so it's like, I was teaching. I found out, like, I love teaching. And then it's like, I'm talking about rehabilitation. I'm talking about people overcoming obstacles to get back to their what occupies their time, which can be basic skills of living, but it can be what adds quality to your life as well. And it's like running absolutely adds quality of life. And so I look at it as being really lucky that I have the healthcare background and some foundational skills that like give me that, I think, added brain into the coaching world, like the full picture brain into the coaching world. And then I'm combining my two passions of looking at the whole person, looking at the body, how we can make it strong, how we can make it efficient, how we can prevent injury, things like that, especially given my context of I have plenty of experience with that. Is a hidden bonus, I suppose, the silver lining to some of my history, while then being able to connect with people like I did with my students, but like I did with my patients too, to like be that mentor, be that coach to somebody to help them like find the balance in their training, to help them like motivate for those hard workouts, to help line out, here's, do you see the progress that you've made? And then talking about goals and looking at the full, like I just did a call with one of my athletes and talked about like mental headspace of like how to dig through the lows and come out on the other side. And just like everything, like that's where it's so funny, just in the last couple years where I've done way too much thinking about life. It's just ultra running and like life are, they're so parallel, where it's like, yes, something I've had to tell myself so many times is like, just get, you know, I'm just getting to the next aid station. Right now it's so freezing cold outside that I'm like having some struggles with low motivation. It's like the next aid station is Moab, where it's going to be even 10 degrees warmer. Sounds great right now. So I think it's been really fun where it blends the things that I love just in like daily satisfaction. And then I would also say like, I'm incredibly lucky that through my last 2 years of injury, I know other people that have coached and have gone through their own personal stuff. And it just is like the added weight that sinks them further. I'm an imposter. Why? I can't even run right now. So why am I coaching? But I haven't felt that way because I have gotten so much joy from somebody else, from my athlete being able to do what I love, and I get to be an extension of that. So I think it's been really fun to have the time, devote the time full time to be able to do this, where it's like, I can do calls with my athletes on a regular basis. I can have that kind of personal feel and personal relationship to talk all things running, or like really look into their data or their like preparation, like the full preparation for whatever event they're training for. So it's,
and you can help them with strength training. If they have injuries, you could, you know, with your background, you can help them with that. That's all these things. It's not just about the miles with ultras. Yeah. And like you said, the mental space too. I ran Moab 240, I got feet issues really early in the race, and it was really the mental that pushed me through to finish.
That's what I joked, like with that Superior Hiking Trail, the 300 mile FKT. I joked, and I still tell people this, where it's my coach at the time was like, oh, I'm not sure if you're, he thought I was undertrained for doing 300 miles. And when I was done with it, I was like, no, like my training was fine. I should have spent way more time, like I joke and I say, standing on hot, pointy, sharp rocks that like staring at
walking over hot coals.
Yeah. I'm doing that for 10 hours. Cause it's like the mental strain was far bigger. Yes. I had the durability and the physical ability, but it's like the mental ability of what that took was insane to learn firsthand.
So we talked about your racing goals and running goals. What are some other 2025 goals you have? Maybe like business goals, or coaching goals, or other running related ventures you got going on?
Yeah. I mean, I think like owning the business Peak Run Performance, like it's been, being an entrepreneur is a new thing for me. And so it has been fun to challenge myself as far as like vulnerability or creativity, or like, how can I grow And so that's been a huge thing of like, I'm a healthcare provider background runner, but it's like, I get to be a marketer. I get to be a graphic designer. I get like, I have to be an accountant, like all of those things. So I think that's been a good goal of like, how can I be the best that I can be? Because there are so many coaches out there and I don't want to just be like, oh, Brittany ran fast at one point, so now she coaches. I want it to be like, I have a master's degree in occupational therapy. So it's like, I got a coaching certification through USCA. Like, I want to keep doing that to make myself the best I can be. Especially, it's like, I'm not old. I'm 38, so I'm getting older. But it's like, I still have time to be like a top level athlete. But it's, but I want to think about being as good as I can be as a professional on the other side of the racing world, of somebody like being able to coach a friend of mine that runs professionally. It's, that is an absolute honor, and it pushes me to strive to be the best I can be in my career, in my profession on the other side, which only helps me as an athlete too. So I think that growing on the business side, but then continuing to learn, being a steward of the sport, and learning all things that I can while passing that on. And I love my, like, I'm a coaching partner with Trans Rockies. So I follow the Trans Rockies races and I love the culture that they have. But yep, it gives me that opportunity. Like, I have so many friends that it's like, hey, are you going to be at MOB? Yeah, I'll be at, oh, good, I'll see you there. Like, it's the reunion. I totally get it now, where it's, you've seen it for years, where it's like, I'm now a part of the cult of the people that just love Trans
Rockies. It's a cult. Yep.
It totally is, but in the most positive sense of the term.
It is.
So it's like, I get to be able to do that and meet other people, and whether that turns into coaching relationships or what. But it's like, mostly it's, I'm an introvert, but it's like, I can talk running with anybody. And so it's like, it turns into that social situation of having heartfelt conversations about injury, or talking to somebody about, like, even just talking to a friend of mine where she's, I don't know how many years I have left to do this, because she's in her mid 40s. And it's, oh, heck no, you have as many years to do this as you can. Like, I just had an athlete that got VO2 max testing done, and she's, yeah, I got like superior rating for my age group because she's 56. Yeah, because you're a badass and you're like crushing it. So it's like, that doesn't, I don't, it's just, it's inspiring to be able to talk to people of all walks of the sport. And I feel like Trans Rockies gives me an opportunity to do that. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And you're so involved in the trail community in other ways too. I see you randomly places, like you're pacing, crewing, helping out friends, right?
Yeah.
I think it was
yeah.
Cocodona. Yeah, Cocodona. Yep. We saw
exactly
each other.
Exactly. That sparked the, okay, I do want to do another long, crazy ultra run. I just haven't committed to it yet, but I do want to.
Maybe later this year or next year. We'll see yeah, after. Oh, I heard Run Rabbit Run is super beautiful too. Another
I'm
one.
Excited. And I think the other thing is like, I've in the world here of, man, I've been so spoiled. And it's Run Rabbit Run, you can't have a pacer. You start in the middle of the day, so you're running at night by yourself. Like, I was just talking to a friend that, yeah, went and did a 100-mile unsupported, where I'm like, that is like way more badass than me getting wined and dined at aid stations. Like, the mental strain on just having to do things on your own. And I like that aspect of Run Rabbit Run, where it's like, all right, no one to kick my butt into gear when I'm mopey and want to slow down in the middle of the night or something.
Yeah.
Like. So
I almost prefer no pacers now. Less logistics.
You're so tough. That makes sense.
Yeah. I did Bear 100 2 years ago, the year after Moab 240. And once you run a 200, you're spending a lot of time by yourself. So yeah. I'm like, 100-miler, one night, I can do it. And yeah, I ran the whole thing without pacers. And it was just my husband who met me at the crew. And he was excited because it was only one night, you know,
yeah,
where Moab
yeah.
was multiple nights. Yeah, you can totally be done without pacers and crew and all that. So
well,
do you...
Just...
Go ahead.
Oh, it goes into that whole thing of relying on yourself, believing in yourself, having that internal drive of I get to do this and I can do this, which I think is just incredibly meaningful for so many of us, because that's like how you function in life, of the
yeah.
lows of life that you just got to get through that. I don't know. It's no one's pushing you to do it. You just got to do it. That's, again, that parallel that I think is really cool for me to reflect on right now. Yeah, Run Rabbit makes sense. I'm just going to go out there, put my head down, and I'm going to get the work done myself. Great people that are still there to help me, but I don't need a pacer to haul me to a fast time. Like, I'm going to make myself do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have a dream race out there that you want to do one day? I mean, you've already done Western States. That's usually people's answer.
That's fair. Okay. Like dream race. I'm not sure that this is it, but UTMB has been my like Achilles heel. So it's because I've started the full UTMB twice and I have not finished it. And that is still the like, why? Because I'm a mountain runner. I can do this. But so I think it's, I want to run around that whole entire mountain one of these days, but I'm not going to UTMB until I know I'm ready to compete. And so that's something out there, but I would say dream race. I don't exactly have one, but I am 100. I'm going to butcher how to say it, the Chiang Mai Thailand race that had been, I hope it's still going on, but that's like on my radar of I'm going to Thailand this fall, winter, because, and I want it to be for a race. And so I think it's the dream races right now really are, yes, there's some of the like key competitive races that I want to get back to, but it's also not losing the like, I want to go see what Thailand is all about.
Yeah.
Like, my very first athlete is from Thailand. And just hearing when I say, oh, practice technical, it's like, that's your everyday if you're on a trail, because Thailand is so gnarly. Like, I know some of the races that people have gone to over in Thailand has kicked people's butts. And it's, that's what drew me to Cape Town, where it's, I want to see what this is all about, but it's, but also I want to see the world because I have no idea what it's like to be saying, like, I haven't gone to the mountain as much because my friends say the snakes are really bad this year. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm picturing big black.
Yeah.
Like
they're going to suffocate you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I think that it's like, I'm going to Thailand. That's maybe the dream race right now, whether it's for that race or I have no idea, but I want to go and see different parts of the world.
Cool. You can always throw out an FKT in Thailand if you can't find a race.
Exactly.
All right. Last question. If you could go back and give younger Brittany one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, it would be that like you are good enough just as you are.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Thank you so much, Brittany, for meeting with us today and sharing your whole journey with us. It's a great story. I love it.
Might as well share with as many people because I think it's as real as they come.
And I'm definitely feeling it right now, being currently injured right now. I've been there. A lot of us have been there, and sometimes it's weeks and sometimes it's months or years. So it's great to be inspired by that. And I will put in the show notes the link to your coaching website and your Instagram. And thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you in a few weeks in person.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you.